Love his work. You know, he's still moving all throughout the earth, looking for people he can bless, looking for people that want to know him, setting people up for success, raising up laborers to help reap the field. You know, we got to pray that Jesus send laborers to the field, and I do. Not as often as I want to, but I do pray that he send people. He raised up people for people. He raised up people for me to be a blessing to you. He's raising you up to be a blessing to others, all until Jesus comes. Even the things you write, whatever God tells you to do, be prompt about it. Prompt faithfulness is obedience. Prompt faithfulness is obedience. You know, obedience with a determination. That's what it takes. Doing something with what God has given you. Be faithful with all the fruits of the Spirit. You know, considering the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, it's in Galatians 5. I thank God for that. You know, Galatians 5 is a blessed chapter. It tells us what not to do and also what to do. Because it shows us the unfruitful works of darkness, things that's out of bounds, things that shouldn't exist. And then it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I love that. It warns you that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, that's verse 9. And it does. That's why people get off track. We did a broadcast called Unleavened or No Leaven. But if you walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's the way we do it. Once we understand the Holy Spirit and having a relationship with being obedient to Him, not contrary, but obedient, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know, looking at verse, that's how we become wise, just like the wise virgins. See, a virgin is one, they're not idolaters. That's what kind of virgins they were. They had no idolatry in them. Five were wise, five were foolish. But today we're going to focus on the five wise. And maybe we'll deal with the foolish as well. I don't know. But the five wise, they walk in the Spirit. He said, you know, look at the Spirit of the Word. You know, Paul is talking to people in the Spirit of the Word. What is he saying here? Verse 5. Let's look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, years ago I saw a spirit of bondage. But anyway, don't be entangled with it. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, he's talking about giving your attention, believing something else other than Christ to make you whole. Circumcision pointed to our covenant. Now, circumcision is it's a reminder of a greater promise. It's being dedicated from the heart. It represented something else, looking toward the cross, looking to Christ. But he said here, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If the emphasis of your salvation is on circumcision, then Christ, he can profit you nothing. Why? Because you're believing in a work that you did or had done other than Christ. And that Christ stands alone. There's no substitute. There's no way out of this world system but through him. Verse 3 says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. See, you can't depend on, he's saying you can't depend on the law for salvation. The law points you to Christ. Circumcision points you to the new life of Christ. You're set apart. It's a sign of sanctification. You're set apart for a greater covenant. But when Christ came, we have the destination. Everything the signs were pointing to, we have the destination. That's why he's explaining it this way. Because Jews were going around saying, if you're not circumcised, you're not saved. Or if you don't keep the law like we do, you're in trouble. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This is the revelation that Paul received from Stephen while he was holding the men's coat while they stoned him. Now he had enough understanding not to throw the stones, but he was holding their jackets. And then they stopped their ears. They knew that it was true. They stopped their ears. They don't want to hear anymore. Some people are that way. Even the foolish virgins are that way. They stay on the outskirts of light. When they see to do better, they do something else. But the wise, they continue to embrace the glories of the Lord. And what I mean by glories, the revelations, they enter into them. They don't just watch it. They don't just get somebody to help them partake of it. They, you know, the wise virgins, they get in on it. All the revelation that came through great men of God. There are so many wonderful people. They get in on it. They receive revelation. When you receive a revelation, you understand it better. And it enables you to see greater things in life that you wouldn't normally see if you're on the outskirts of it. All right. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Now that's the destination. We have Christ, and through Christ we can have faith which works by love. Then we can always receive what the Holy Spirit is saying. Love is very important. Love enables you to see what you normally would miss out on. Verse 7, ye did wrong well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's the danger of being lukewarm, half-hearted. I read the book of Enoch. One of the things Enoch said, he said, don't be half-hearted. He told his children, he gathered all his children and grandchildren around him, all that came, and warned them, never be half-hearted, be whole-hearted with God. A half-hearted person is not going to make heaven. That's just how it is. A half-hearted person can look the part, but God knows the difference. He's going through a lot of trouble to show us, Jesus put forth a great effort to show us something. In the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. None were idolatrous. All of these were not idolaters. The 5 foolish virgins had enough sense not to be idolaters, but they were not all in. They were compromised. That's why they didn't keep watch. That's why they didn't bring enough oil. And then when they run out, then they ask for help. But they don't enter into the glories of God. When they see better, they don't do better. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We have to, as we grow in the Lord, we also share the responsibility of de-leavening ourselves and de-leavening our doctrines. De-leavening, unleavening, becoming unleavened. Everything that we do, our actions, our advice, needs to be de-leavened. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. This is why timing is so important. When God tells you something, before your heart hardens, you must draw near. You must have a hunger for what's right. Nobody can make you have that. You have to decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to latch on to this. I'm going to keep the word of God. I'm going to receive what God is saying. Verse 10 again, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, when I minister to people, I believe in them. I always believe the best first, because to the pure, all things, everybody's pure. Now, that's not always true, but you can have faith, especially people that are babes, people that want to know, people that are hungry for the word, people that just dearly love Jesus. I trust people like that. And I believe they're going to do well and do great things before it's all over and done with. So Paul said, I have confidence in you. And I do too. I have confidence in people who love God. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, not double-minded. Not allowing leavens to infiltrate your life. Not even a little bit. But he that troubleth you, they're leaven, you shall bear, he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. People that are leaven will not get away, because they go around, they give advice, they live wrong, they live sloppy, they do things that they know is wrong. The Lord said, I'm a guy I love a lot. He said, he'll do anything. And don't try to figure out who that is. It's not you. It's one of my kin. And I said, wow. And the Lord was showing me how, I wanted to know what can win the loss. What can win? What can get a person out of a lukewarm condition? And the Lord even said, you can't do it. And I believe him. If people go lukewarm, I can't help them. Because I believe what God told me. And people, there are things that people don't see. There are things that people should see, but they don't. And see, the Lord gave me this word. I'll read it again. This was March 21st, 2022. He said, all who love the world system. Now notice that the world system. Greed, pride, and lust. Wrote about by John. People who get involved with this. All who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Even the five foolish virgins, they share an enmity against God because they love the world system somewhere. See, if you love the world system somewhere, it's going to affect your dedication. It's going to affect the way you solve problems. It's going to affect the way you think. It's going to affect what you value and how much you value it. If you have enmity against God, it's going to show itself. And the Lord did tell me this, that kind of, it somewhat comforted me when I was very concerned about people that would have to be left. He said in the last days, he's going to cause people to speak whatever's in their heart, good or bad, they're going to speak it. They're going to voice it. But he also told me this, for people that hear, have ears to hear. To help people, to give them one more chance, whatever light they received, he's going to use it to enlighten them against the demise of being left behind. He's going to enlighten them so that they can get things right, because God can't take sin to heaven. I don't care who it is. I said, Lord, please keep me strong. Keep me in the faith. And I want y'all to pray to my faith fail now. That's wise. My pastor said the same thing. Jim McCann III, he said, pray that my faith fail now. Now, Jim McCann IV is my pastor now. But I love both of them. They're great men of God, father and son. Nevertheless, he said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how nice people are, no matter how wonderful God is, they still share an enmity against God. They that love the world, starting with Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, people, even Christians who didn't listen, they allowed worldly things in their lives. And that leaven, it causes them, them to share with Satan and all of his fallen. They share an unconditional enmity with God. They may not always understand it, but it's there. That's what keeps people from going forward. And, you know, if you study the lukewarm church, they didn't know their condition. Think about it. The five foolish virgins didn't realize their condition. They were caught off guard. Now watch. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. If they're trying to hide something, that ought to tell you you're wrong. Anybody try to hide something, they are wrong. You don't have to hide the light. But if you're hiding something that you know is wrong, why are you hiding it? Why don't you drive it out instead of hiding it and protecting it? No matter how hard they try to hide it, is there. They're trying to hide their enmity against God. Only people who believe God love God. Interesting. God said this. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. So that narrows it down, don't it? Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love them, this is a true fact. If you think about it, this is what the five wives would do. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. When they see better, they get mad. When the Pharisees saw the lame man that was healed walking around, after he had been healed at the beautiful gate, what did they do? They tried to stop it. They tried to get people to stop. They got mad because this notable miracle was done. And they wanted to put him in jail, but they feared the crowd. They were too scared to try it. Because they loved the praise. They wanted that attention to themselves. And wicked people, that even Christian people that stay on the outskirts of life, and they're not trying to grow, because they fall in love with the world somewhere, that's why they act that way. But that's not something that I would want to know about. That's not something that I wish on anybody. But the reason the Lord gave me this is because he sees it all the time. People do these things. Now, I'm not one of those that's trying to get, you know, trying to develop some salvation by works message and preaching condemnation. But see, the things of the heart has to be dealt with. You cannot be half-hearted and serve God. I said in yesterday's broadcast, if you agree with the enemy somewhere, it's going to affect the way you fight. You're not going to fight what you agree with. And the Lord said to me, I said, Lord, how long do I fight the enemy? He said, fight till you win and live in victory. Well, only a dedicated person will do that. Some people give up because they halfway agree with Satan somewhere. Or they partially agree. Or they agree a little bit. But a small amount of leaven is too much because it grows. Trust me, it does grow. And it grows without notice. It gets to a point you can't even feel it growing. But the first thought, deed, or action that happens, you need to deal with it before it grows, while it's small. Kenneth Copeland once said that if they had dealt with Al Capone when he was small, it wouldn't have taken an army, the U.S. Army, to get him out of Chicago and bring him to justice. They had to get the army. Because his bandit coalition got so big. Consider this, you know, don't play with leaven, don't let leaven turn you into a foolish virgin. and I don't believe it will. But I'm just saying, these are things. It's enough. Many times people have taught people not to sin, but people didn't really teach to hate. Teach ministers didn't really preach the knowledge of hating sin. You can hate it, all of it. They taught people to run from it, get rid of it, but you can hate it. And I used to speak it by faith that I hate certain sins that I was more weak to. Because the enemy starts with your weaknesses, whatever's a weakness. And having a weakness is not the problem. It's just something that was, it's a point of this life that you were not strong in. And you didn't have, nobody ever taught you how to be strong against it. So there are weaknesses, but what do? When you have Christ, you're the overcomer. When I got born again, I became an overcomer, whether I knew it or not. Just like a baby's born with legs and arms. They just don't know what to do with it. When I was born again, I had a heart that wanted to serve God and do everything right. But I had a mind that remembered the wickedness of old and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all of it. Everything that could appeal to a man. I had to renew my mind, but my heart didn't want that. So as I received the word of God, it helped me renew my mind. And while everything was getting better, the enemy tried to tempt me to get, oh, come over here and look at what I got. No, I don't want that. And I didn't know how to deal with the struggle of temptation, so I asked the Lord to help me. I didn't use my own wisdom. I used God's wisdom. And then I learned to use his strength. And I ask him, what is it? How do you do this? And he taught me things. And I talk about that sometimes. So I'll just keep moving now. He said, all who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. Now, that's another problem. They can't value the glory. You talk about the things of God. Many people would rather talk about football, race cars, what they're going to eat, shopping, whatever. But they don't take time to learn. And some people that will talk about other subjects, when you talk about the Lord and you say the right revelation, they want it and they'll talk all day. Wise virgins. Some people cut the conversation short. They got to get out of there. Foolish virgins. This is why. They don't value the thing, the glories of the Lord. Then he said this, they will never yield. Now, that's a big word, never. That's why he told me you can't get a lukewarm person saved. And I don't like to lose. I like to believe I can do anything. I can through Christ, but if Jesus can't get their attention, if they mad at him, how can I help them? Because whoever hear you and Jesus sent you, they're hearing Jesus too. If the Holy Spirit is inspiring you and they reject you, they're also rejecting the Holy Spirit who inspired you. And if they receive you, they're also receiving the Holy Spirit who inspired you. So it can't be twisted. He says, so the Lord said, nor can they value. They never will. They will never yield. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. That's what a fallen person is, opposite. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. That's the problem with the five foolish virgins. They're not like the five wise virgins in heart. Satan has come up with a new attack group. That's what the lukewarm church is. It's a new fangled attack group. They are internal enemies against God, the Father, against the Holy Spirit, against Jesus, the Son, and all of his people who love him. They are an insurrection. I just received that. I see this. Because they are opposite. And because they're opposite, they're fallen. And they remain fallen, saith the Lord. It's in their wheelhouse. It's in their will. It's in the will of their heart to be this way, just like Satan. They will not repent. This is something, and they went, and the Lord spoke to me last night. He said, many people badge my name. They sing my songs. They assemble themselves, but I don't know. I'm like, wow, this is, wait a minute. I'm just, wow, how did this happen? This is why. They became opposite. They became, because they became leaven. They allowed a little leaven and didn't deal with it. And it, sin, you know, it grows in you. And it starts with possibly the mind, through the eyes or ears or desire. Some people, they like to be angry at people. They won't let go there. This is terrible. Let's say an election year. Some people are so bitter at politicians. They will not repent. They take everything personal that a person does. And they hate that person. They can't say nothing good about them. And they don't. And the average, a lot of Christian people don't know how dangerous it is. If you don't forgive, neither will God forgive you. When I got saved, you know, black people used to be slaves, okay? And I saw the movie Roots, you know. My parents always taught me to love every race. But I saw the meanness of slavery and all this. So when I received salvation, and I was asking God to forgive me of my sin, and then I was forgiving others, I saw how it pleased God that you forgive others. And when I sensed that it pleased God, I said, who else am I mad at? And I thought back, okay, all right. The Hambys, the Griffiths, the Browns, all the people, the Brewsters, that owned my family members and my ancestors, I forgave. I said, wow, Satan didn't see that coming. and it pleased the Lord. And I said, I also forgive the Klan. Now there's nobody on earth that I'm mad at. I've forgiven everybody. And guess what? Every race. I asked a guy one time, a black guy. He was talking about race. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, would you want to live in a world and that was only black people? He thought for a minute. He said, no. I said, it's better like it is, isn't it? Yeah. I said, yeah, I know. We need each other. Black people, white people, Oriental people, Jewish people, Arabs, Mexican, Canadian, people from all the French, Spain, everywhere. They are all, and I mean this, they are all a creation of God, and every one of them is very important. To the point, Jesus said, in Revelation, that in God's house, there will be people from every kindred, tongue, and nation. And I think, and I see the wisdom of people. I love the way, the pureness that God put in people. Now, the enemy corrupts, but every race is, I watch people. I watch how they think and do things. And every race that I know of has impressed me. I see people love their children. I see people at the park, different races. And you see more interracial marriages now. I like that. The Lord said it honors him when people of different origins come together and marry, because it openly goes against the world system of hate. I don't like meanness. I don't like terrorists at all. But I'm going to tell you something. Working on cars, I worked on a guy's car from Iran. Another guy, they were brothers from Saudi Arabia. Now, they were Palestinians, but they came from Saudi Arabia. And they are some of the most, they are a joy to be around. And I mean that they are so kind. They don't think like me. They were Muslims. I visited their car lot. They wanted me to sit down and eat with them. They are some sweet people. Now, two of them, they didn't like Jews. I don't agree with them on that at all. But the way they treat people, I mean, the devil's behind the attacks. The devil is behind the judging and all that. But if they were not taught what they were taught, they would be wonderful friends. They would be genuine friends. And they were genuine friends. They would love God. That's what I'm trying to say. And Satan is the one who separates people. And the different races think differently. It's beautiful. But God did a good job with every race. But Satan tries to corrupt us all. In my own race, I've been hurt by my own people all kind of ways. But did I stop loving them? No, I love every one of them. That's the thing about salvation. It makes you strong. It makes you begin to love people like Jesus loved you. And then you grow in it. And that's wonderful. I love that. So I'm not willing to hold grudges. Continuing with this word of the Lord, he said, they are not subject to me, nor can they be. Talking about those that remain fallen. They are not subject to me, nor can they. They can't even be subject to God. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the soul. This is a true fact. Now, this broadcast is going to be long.